there, and welcome to Mortgage Introducer Talk. I'm delighted to be joined today by Leon Diamond, who is founder and chief executive officer of Livermore Capital. Welcome, Leon. Thanks for joining us.
Simon, thanks for having me. Good to catch up again.
Oh, it's great to have you along, and I'm looking forward to hearing your insight on the market currently. I'm nursing a bit of a winter cold here, so thanks to you and to the audience for bearing with me. I hope it doesn't cut across what I'm sure will be a fascinating chat. But let's set the scene. Why don't we hear from you in your words about what Livermore does and your role there?
Yes, certainly, Simon. So Livermore is a first lien mortgage lender focused on the UK, so England, Wales, Scotland. We don't lend to Northern Ireland, but we're a first lien mortgage lender focused on an underserved market in need, being the over 50s. Our oldest borrower is a 99-year-old lady who took out a mortgage. We're very proud of that. We see this area as being quite underserved in the UK, but yet there's strong demand coming through.
What kind of products are we talking about here? Equity release, I know, being one of them, but give us a sense of your offering.
Yes, we've built the widest offering in the market. We have equity release that has one of the broadest housing criteria. We have a retirement interest-only mortgage, which is basically an interest-only mortgage with no end date. So it gives the borrower a bit of flexibility around when they want to move out of the house based on the life events, being care or some type of debt in the family. We have an interest-only mortgage with a normal term end date and just a normal mortgage going up to about 30 years. We also have a capital and interest product. Under those four mortgage products, we have about 120 individual products. And the reason why we have so many is really to meet the needs of the brokers, but also the customers who are taking them out, giving them quite a broad range of options.
I noticed that you said over 50s when you described the market. Do you prefer that to saying later life?
I do. And the reason why I do prefer it is, historically, a lot of people thought when you talked about later life, it was just equity. And what we know is the consumer is screaming out for not just equity release when they are over 50. And what we saw through our studies was, historically, if a borrower who was over 50 couldn't be placed at a high street, the only option was equity release. And that's why Livermore, it was founded, really to give the best outcome for customers with the broadest possible range.
Well, before we find out a bit more about how you did come to set up Livermore, let's get a sense of your career from your earliest days.
Yes, certainly. You may hear by my twang, and it comes out after a couple of glasses of wine a little bit more. So I was born in Australia. I originally started my first couple of years was in Melbourne, where I worked for an equities house, an equities and options house. I was a sales trader there, buying and selling both options, equity options, and Australian stocks. I then moved to London, like a lot of Aussies do, on a holiday working visa. But then, didn't do too much holidaying and a bit more work, and ended up in a hedge fund for a couple of years. Moved, got a little bit bored there. Moved to New York and joined another hedge fund there. And then by about 2000, did very well in 2008 during the volatile times. Moved back to London. I saw an opportunity in London, which was post RDR. This was retail distribution review, where IFAs could no longer take payments from fund managers or platforms. So there was a change in regulation. So I bought a business, a retail fund management business off Kairos Wealth that was run by Keith Carby and Andy Ferns, XLA Dunbar. And I grew that fund management business, eventually selling it to AJ Bell. So AJ Bell, the investment manager, was my previous business. It was there I saw the opportunity in speaking with financial advisors and customers that one of the needs and one of the financial products that was needed was something other than equity release, but just a normal mortgage for people over 50. Briefly, I was a non-exec director of Responsible Lending that was just recently sold to Royal London, part of Responsible Group. I helped them get their lending license and an equity release forward flow funding contract. And there again, I saw the need for customers to be given other opportunities. So I decided to go about setting up Livemore to really meet those demands of a wider lending criteria than just equity release or high street mortgage lending.
So you had the insight to spot a gap in the market.
Yes, yeah. I would say that's my background coming from hedge fund trading and macro research. What I did was I could see the data out in the market, which was there's about 140 billion of interest-only mortgages coming up for expiry. A number of those people have options, but there's a large amount of customers, borrowers, who don't have options that are let down by the high street and don't fit equity release. That overlaid with what I could see was rising interest rates. We're at all-time lows in interest rates. Was going to see the over 50s, especially people who are moving into retirement or retired, looking for other financing needs and having to tap their house for equity or potentially debt consolidation. There is a bit of a cost of living crisis that's affecting people who are retired. People who are retired are sitting on the largest amount of land wealth in the UK. So sort of combining some of the public data that was out in the market, plus also economic factors, I could see that the over 50s were just screaming out for help.
So clearly the market, as you saw it, was lacking. Do you think there's been a shift since you brought your proposition to market? Do you think the market has caught up, or that you've been able to shape the market or lead the market in some way, and that generally things have improved within this space?
Definitely. If I look at it, our best month was last month, November. So that's a testament, to the hard work and hard work not only internally from our team, but also the brokers that we work with. So we're growing month on month. But also what I can see is there are a number of other drivers in the market. So, we've seen the FCA do a review of the equity release market and to an extent quite scathing on some of the distribution and advice practices there. We've also seen consumer duty coming into play, which I think is a big driver, giving customers the best outcome. More customers over 50 are going to brokers and asking for help. Early on, when I set up this business, it was not uncommon to have some of our customers tell me, because I'd interview them, that they would be the third, fourth, or fifth mortgage broker along before they got help. And that is changing. That is a big driver of change. You're seeing mortgage brokers understand and identify that the over 50s is a growing market. And it's a market that needs to be served.
How important would you say it was for you to head up your own business? I mean, were you always going to be the boss? Do you think that was always in your DNA, really, to be the boss?
You most probably just have to ask some of the people around me. I'm very focused on the vision of the business, and along the way, I would say that vision hasn't changed. And sometimes, you know, for some people is quite difficult to jump onto that vision and deliver the vision how I see it. So, I'm better to work for myself and create that vision than to work for others. I think, and most probably some people around me will also testify to that. The other thing is, we've really done this in a way that has allowed our independence. You know, I've got a great chairman, Atul Bajpai, who was CEO previously of Wachovia EMEA, but in the 90s bought Southern Pacific Mortgages. Some of you may know that business. And he oversaw the growth of that and really has been able to, you know, support me and back me. And, you know, during times of a wobble, as any entrepreneur has, sort of, you know, give that backing and support to continue on the vision and execute it. So, yeah, I'm lucky to be in a position whereby, you know, I'm able to be the driver. And I don't think, you know, where we sit today would be any other way. I like to be in the trenches solving the problem.
How challenging would you say it has been from taking the seed of an idea and building it into such an established and recognizable brand?
Yes, I think the common thing is, if I knew, you know, or a number of entrepreneurs say would be, if I knew what I knew when I started the business, I may not have started the business. I didn't come from the mortgage world. I'd come from, you know, very much doing systematic and hedge fund trading, as well as, you know, investing on myself. So, you know, entering into the UK mortgage world, I've learned a lot. I've met some really, really great people. I also have a number of scars and think I'm a bit grayer than when I started. It comes with its pros and cons. And I'd say one area is, it's allowed me to execute a vision whereby we have, you know, the widest criteria in the later life space in terms of mortgage proposition. So, just allows brokers to place their case and make it easy. We've built some technology that's market leading that no one else has done, where it makes brokers' lives and customers' lives better, where it's a matching engine. Too often a customer comes in or a broker comes in and basically, you know, fails some type of affordability. What we look to do is reoffer a product, so whereby it makes a broker's time more efficient and gives the customer a better outcome. And so a number of these challenges or things that we've implemented, I think if I hadn't come from the mortgage market, if I had come from the mortgage market, I most probably wouldn't have done. I would have done something a bit similar to what others do. So it's most probably the naivety that's allowed me to build out this business and give such a great offering to our customers. At the same time, it always takes a bit longer, so I'd like to be further along the journey than I am. But as some of the partners and staff say, you know, we're doing very well for where we are. I'm most probably just a bit more impatient.
I know that you were inspired by the older relatives in your early life. Can you share some details about that?
Yeah, certainly. I grew up, with my parents working and working most weekends. So I spent a lot of time with my grandparents and grandmother. Growing up on the weekends, she taught me how to kick a football. That's probably why I never played football after, but wasn't very good. But anyway, she taught me how to kick a football. But what I did see was with both my parents and my grandparents as they got older, and actually I'm seeing this right now with my parents, who worked hard and built up a portfolio of some properties, some buy-to-lets, etc. And when they want to get a mortgage, they find it very difficult. You know, my parents live in Brisbane. My sister and her family live in Melbourne. They wanted to get like a second apartment. You know, my dad's in his 80s. They have, you know, excellent credit, decent assets, and actually couldn't get a mortgage for you know, a second home and apartment to, so they could spend more time in Melbourne. And that's just because, you know, banks or some lenders just take a very narrow view on income. And so really that's inspired me to build out LiveMore and really take what I would say is the old local bank approach, which was you go down to your bank manager, they understand your assets, your liabilities, your income, and they lend on that, not just, you know, what does the box say? And what we've done is we've taken that human behavior of what used to occur and we've put it into a computer model. And we've built out some really smart technology that allows us to learn along the way. In effect, what some people would say, AI today, but we learn along the way as we get more customers in. But also we're able to automate some of the process and speed up the decisioning.
How would you sum up the market at the moment and the challenges it faces? And looking a little further ahead, although not too far further ahead, how do you anticipate 2024 and what it holds, not only for the market, but for your business?
This year's been, let's say, for everyone involved in the market, yeah, a really tough year. We came off the back of, you know, Q3, Q4, the really set back a mortgage broker market and mortgage lending market, you know, at least 6 months. And so we started the year off slow. But I think like a lot of mortgage lenders and brokers, we're ending on a high note in 2024. You know, the borrowers are coming back to the market. Even though we have higher rates than where we were, like 12, 18 months ago, the need for borrowers to come out and refinance, you know, their homes and the demand that's there is coming through. And so we're able to help out brokers on that basis on a daily basis. So, you know, we've been able to navigate the storm of Liz Truss. We're ending on a really strong year. 2024, we think, is going to be our best year yet. We've got some more proposition rollout. So we've learned from our current over 1,000 borrowers, on their data. We're broadening out our proposition in terms of housing criteria, expanding some of our affordability areas, and also we'll be launching, you know, a new product in Q2, end of Q2, Q3, that will really help drive customer outcome and broker efficiency. So we're super excited for 2024. We'll be securitizing our first portfolio, which is a big milestone for the business. We'll be able to pass on those efficiencies in pricing and look to, you know, lend it even more competitive rates. So super excited for the year ahead. You know, we've got a great team that really work with brokers and customers on a daily basis and you know, have been great throughout 2023 and really supportive of the business going over and above as employees. So I'm lucky to have that within the business as well.
What is the best business lesson that you've learned so far in your career? Something that you might want to share with others?
I think what has enabled us to get through, you know, what has been COVID, starting new products, hard to find funding, and one is having a clear vision and being relentless in executing that vision. And every morning and waking up and realizing that every morning's a new morning. So you're going to have some really tough days, but building resilience and waking up the next day and just starting again and going for it. So resilience, I think, has been a key factor, and a key driver, And I'd say one more, and that is risk management, Simon. And you know, we've gone through, you know, tough times from a, you know, as I said, COVID, Liz Truss period, but always looking at, and this comes from my trading background, which is downside. You know, what could happen? Is a business well positioned? Can it take that stress? And constantly on thinking about and managing the risk of the business and making sometimes some tough decisions that you know, some people may disagree with, but making those tough decisions. So I'd say that they're the two areas: resilience and not always being liked and making some tough decisions.
And what are you most proud of in your career so far?
I would say Livermore, look, the customer outcomes. You just have to go to our website and realize and read some of the customer outcomes. For customers, both being brokers and customers, we're able to, on a daily basis, keep customers who thought they would have to sell their homes and downsize and make a material life change. We're able to keep them in their homes in an affordable way. And we've got some great stories. And, you know, I've interviewed at least 30, maybe 40 customers, you know, and I've been on the side where I'm, you know, tearing up and listening to some of the customer stories. So for me, what drives me in this business is the continued impact I have and, or the Livermore has and our team on customers. And that really drives myself, but also, you know, the rest of our team to go over and above.
Do you think you could easily step back and hand over the reins to someone else, or do you remain as ambitious and as motivated as you ever were?
Right now, I'm as ambitious and motivated as I am. I do realize that, you know, my skills are different, maybe than skills of you know, a CEO who is you know, seasoned in growing out, you know, bigger teams and larger teams as we look to grow. So, you know, whilst I have a strong vision and implementation, right now being CEO is the right decision. I believe I have or have the right partners around me to tell me, you know, if there are the right people in the job to take the business to the next goal, that you know, They will tell me we run quite a open dialogue, straightforward, that some people may be harsh, but within our business we see is it comes to the ultimate truth. So for now, CEO, but as the business grows, it may be better suited to someone who has experience in growing bigger teams.
And as we draw our conversation to a close, we've got a good sense of business Leon. What's Leon like outside of work?
There's not too much difference, to be fair. That may be because I maybe work a bit too much, and so it sort of blends into two. I have a great family, two beautiful daughters, beautiful wife. That I get to spend some time with. You know, the random thing is, and anyone who comes to our office, I like to do Brazilian jiu-jitsu. So I have some mats in the office that sometimes I call in either staff or some outside people that we will do a bit of training where I think people think I'm a bit mad. So a little quirky. So, you know, look, within the business, I like to have fun outside the business as well. So, you know, whilst very focused and determined and you know, can be a bit tough at times, yeah, I want to enjoy the ride of life, enjoy the ride of Livermore as well. You know, so sort of all boils into one at the moment, Simon. So I might be, that sounds a little sad, but, you know, I do have fun along the way. It's been a good journey so far, and, you know, I look forward to the coming years.
Well, that was going to be my final question. How do you feel about the prospect of getting older in time yourself. What do you hope your senior years will be like?
Oh, well, for those that know me, and I guess we're on a podcast, I think I started this business with, you know, I was a third grey. I think I'm about three quarters grey now, and a few bags under my eyes. So I'm near the age category of getting our mortgage and qualifying. We're a few years off anyway, but a couple of years off. For me, you know, I would say I was inspired by, you know, both by my parents, my dad, but also my grandparents. I think I'll be working or doing some type of role into my 80s. So always quite active, you know, whether that's part-time or, you know, taking on advisory or mentorship. Hopefully I can work, but also give back. And I've seen that quite meaningful in a number of family members' lives that have given back. And, you know, that's the plan. I've still got a fair bit of full-time work ahead of me what I would say is, you know, a number of goals I want to hit within Live More First, but I think I'll end up doing some type of work up until, you know, I die.
Well, that sounds pretty good to me. It's been fantastic chatting with you, Leon. Thank you so much for agreeing to do this.
Simon, thanks so much for your time. You know, good to catch up again, and look forward to catching up either this side of Christmas or into the new year.
Always a pleasure. That's it for this edition of Mortgage Introducer Talk. Join us again next time for more industry insight. Until then, thanks for listening and goodbye.
Thank you for tuning into Mortgage Introducer Talk. You can listen to the latest episodes on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, and all major listening channels. Just search for Mortgage Introducer Talk.